glory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Are you free this morning? He set you free. Free to worship Him. Free to express your love to Him. You are free. And you are free. You're free indeed. Amen. So, thankful that you're here this morning. And thank you, musicians. I have a lot in my fork, so I don't want to waste too much time. But I thank God for all He has done for me. Just He redeemed me and set me free. If He don't do nothing else for me this morning, that's enough for me to praise Him for an eternity. Amen? Amen. Let's go to our scripture. Let me get this set up. Start looking for the book of, I think it's Timothy. Let me make sure that's what it is. Yes, we're going to look at 1 Timothy 3:16. That's not the first verse that I gave you, Tim. If you scroll down, you will see it. It says, what then is godliness? And then below that, you have the scripture. I decided to go to that scripture first. So, and without controversy, that means there's no doubt here. It's absolutely correct. This is what it is. See, there's no chance for failure here. There's no chance for anything. The controversy is great. It's the mystery of what? Of godliness. It's no mystery no more, because all the world has been open to us in this age. It has been all restored. And there is no mystery. So we're going to dive into this because I want to know what the mystery of godliness is. God was manifested in flesh. Now, that's the mystery. Justifying the spirit, seen of angels, preach unto the Gentiles, believe on in the world, receive up into glory. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you this morning for your precious word, for your precious people, Lord, and this place that you have given us to gather together to praise you, to worship you, and to express our love to you, Father, and love to one another. Thank you, Lord. Now, Lord, we come down in a mighty way. Talk to our hearts through your word. Father, meet every need that we have. And my need is you. I want more of you, Father, until this body is changed completely to your image. The image of Jesus Christ, Father. Now, Lord, be with our pastor too, as well. Whatever he's at today, rest him, Lord. Or probably it's a night over there now. And give him strength, physically and spiritually, Lord. And return it back to us, safe and sound, Father. Father, we thank you for this congregation. We thank you for our brothers and sisters. We thank you that we have a place that we can come and worship you. We still can do that in this nation, Father. We appreciate that. Father, maybe one of these days it won't be this way, but so far it's this way. So we take advantage of it, Father. We can speak about you, talk about you, and worship you without getting in trouble yet. But Father, we appreciate every moment, every minute, and every day that we can get together, Father, to hear from you and to learn from you. Father, we love you and thank you. Now, Father, come and be our guest of honor. Enthrone yourself in the heart of the people, Father. In Jesus' name, control every action, every move, every word, Father, that comes from this pulpit. Have your way. Have your way from the pulpit all the way to the back door. In Jesus' name, we ask you all these things. Amen. You can be seated. So I want to revisit this subject of godliness. I'm too loud, I don't know. I talked to you about godliness about a few months ago. So call this, part two or three. I don't know what part it was. But the mystery of godliness. We're going to review a little bit, but Second Peter 1:2, first chapter, verse 3 says, according as his divine mean, well, all the way to the beginning. The first verse, I mean, yeah, you're getting there. Deity, divinities, that's a title that we bestow to a God, you know. Power, it says, his divine power hath given unto us all things. Now we don't have nothing to complain about it. We have all things that we have need today from here to heaven. We have it's in the Holy Spirit. So we have nothing missing. He has given us all things pertaining to life and godliness. Not only to godliness, but to what? Life. Now it's a conjunction. Life and. So these two are the same level. The same, you know, this one is not lower than this one. Life through the knowledge. Now, that life and godliness come through the knowledge of him that he had called us unto glory. Glorification. See? Our bodies are going to be glorified one of these days. So this life and godliness through his knowledge is going to change his body one of these days. It's going to glorify this body. Because that's what he called us for, and virtue. Well, the bride is a virtue of bride, right? Without spot, without wrinkle, she's holy, she's pure. That is our end. Amen. So, what's life? Life, I got the definition out of the lexicon. It says, the absolute fullness of life, talking about the natural life. He says, both essential and ethical, which belong to God and through him, both to the hypostasy, logos, and the Christ in whom the logos put on a human nature. So we're talking about the natural life with the Holy Ghost living in us. That is a Christian life. We're not talking just a life. It's a life that is full of God, full of the Holy Ghost. I don't know the life. I used to, but no longer. That life is gone. That man is dead. I'm a new creation. I got a new life in Christ Jesus. I'm a new creation. The old one is gone. The knowledge, it says. Now, part B, it says, life real and genuine. A life active and vigorous. Devoted to God. Blessed in the portion even in the world or those who put their trust in Christ. Now we're talking about the walk, the life, the journey, you know, with him in us. We're talking about that walk. But after the resurrection, see, to be consumed by new ascension, talking about the rapture. So now we're talking about two meanings here, natural life and the spiritual life. And this is a journey. Paul is saying in this journey, we have everything that we need for life. Natural, spiritual, and what? Godliness. So, those two things, but through the knowledge of the Word of God. Amen. That's why you have to find a place that they will preach the Word of God. No watered down, no sugar coated, the Word that has been restored for this age. Because if not, it will not produce godliness. And it will not produce life. They think they have life, but the end will be what? Death. The only life it is his life. The Word of God is life unto us. Without it, we're dead, walking dead. So, we're talking about the same kind of a walk that Enoch had. The Bible says that Enoch walked with God. And that's the kind of walk. It's a walk that is a journey of life. And godliness. And he walked with God. And in Hebrew, Paul says, not only that, but he walked and he had a testimony before he got translated that he pleased God. So he not only walked, but he walked the talk and he talked the walk. Some of us, sometimes we walk and walk and talk and talk and we never bring them together. Walking where? I don't know. Where are you going? Sometimes we don't, you need to know where you're standing. But that's just the first part. Then what direction you're going? You could be standing going the wrong way. You're standing on the word, but you need direction. You need the Holy Ghost to tell you that this is the way. And so you can walk to the right way with the right things, the right mind, and the right choices you're making. So Enoch, he walked the walk and he talked the talk. So that means his life will line up with his profession. Whatever he professed, that is what his life showed. And that's what godliness is. Godliness is a life and the result of a life that is walking with God, with the Holy Ghost. A life that is filled with his word produces godliness. Amen. Produces a walk. See, sometimes we talk too much and, you know, I prefer to just keep my mouth shut because sometimes it's just like a fish. They die by their mouth with a hook on their mouth. And if we talk too much, we're just going to die by our mouth too. Our mouth is going to, you give me enough rope, I will hang myself. So sometimes it's better to control the tongue. But anyway, this word, if you continue confessing this word, will line up your body with that confession. I believe that. So, Enoch walked, and he was pleasing to God. That's the kind of walk that I want. And this is what this means. Life, the walk, but you have to please God. How do you please God? We get that in a minute. Not only by faith. You can have faith, but remember what we said Wednesday. You can have faith, but if you don't have love, it profits you nothing. Oh, I love God. Okay, that's good, but what about if you love God that you don't see, you should love your brother that you see, and now you're a liar. That's what the Bible said. So having faith is not enough. You have to love. But I love God, but the only way I know that you love God, that's a talk. I love God. But let me see how you walk. Let me see how you treat your brothers and sisters. Let me see how you love God when church is on. Bro, you didn't take too long to get there. No. That's a walk. I mean, okay, no more. So, you know, that's a walk. I mean, we are walking and we are talking that we love God and all these things. So let's put our feet, you know, let's put our walk in our talk. Let's line it up. It says, and then we want to read Proverbs 8:13. I want to read this verse because the Spanish, you have to know a few things in Spanish. Godliness is in English, the word in English. In Spanish, it's piedad, pious. And those two words have nothing in common but a few things. That's why the Spanish used that word because it's the closest to godliness. But when I try to explain godliness, sometimes pious, you know, well, pious is to be holy, to be faithful, to be devoted, to be dedicated, to be consecrated, to be, that is to be faithful. But that's the same thing as godliness. It's just we're using two different words, and that's what I'm saying this. So Jose will take these two words and merge them together. Because piedad means some other things, but in this case, this is what it means. And that's the best word they used in Spanish, but do not explain the godliness. But that's the difference, Jose. So you can follow the thought. If not, you get lost. But let me read you this. Because godliness is respect, a reverential respect, a fear. But not a fear as being afraid. This is the definition of piedad, pious, or being respectful to God. Proverbs 8:13 says, The fear of the Lord, this is the definition, is to hate evil. Well, godliness or piedad, you still hate evil. Those two words have that in common. If we are saying we are children of God, we get away from evil as far as we can. It says, not only evil, but pride. People are conceited, vanity, arrogance. Well, we're still in the same thing, Jose. That he says arrogance. You know, arrogance means superiority. Like, you know, some people think that they're better than you. because you dress this way, because you look this way, because you talk this way, and they look at you, well, you're following a cult or something. You're following a man. Well, at the end, we'll see who's following who. Because one of these days, it should be a vindication. I told you, Mount Zion rapture. And in that day, we're going to decide, God is going to show who is who in the zoo. See, right now, everybody's fussing and fighting. But one of these days, he will vindicate his word. And that will be a little bit too late for some people. He says, arrogance, superiority. You know, superiority, well, we had need of nothing. We are rich. You know, we got everything. And they take the word of God in Revelation 3:14 and they put it out. We don't even need you. We got our doctrines. We got our smartness, our reason, our logic. See? So what they do, they get so arrogant. They say, well, you know, I don't need you. I mean, that's sad. Jesus is outside knocking in the door. What a sad scripture. Trying to get in his own church. And the church saying, I have need of what? Wow. Why? Because they're depending on their own intellect. They're depending on their own doctrines and dogma. You know? And they cannot change them. See? So, the Bible says the arrogant superiority. But that's their understanding of their church. We are rich. You know, we have need of nothing. We got buildings. We got the word. Well, the so-called the word. But they said also that Jesus said, then this is how I see you. That's how you see yourself. But do you know how I see you? You are naked. You are miserable. And you are just a quitter. So I prefer to get his definition, that man's definition. They are in the sad position. But anyway, we are not here to talk about the other side of the coin. We are the bride of Jesus Christ, part of the portion. He says, arrogance and this evil ways, corrupted way. Everything is corrupted. The government is corrupted. The schools are corrupted. Church is corrupted. That's where are we living right now. You know, corruptions everywhere we see. But he says in Proverbs 13 that the fear of the Lord is to get away from all this stuff that displeases God. Amen. That's why you know how to walk, that he pleased God. He stayed away from all this stuff. See? And the forward mouth. You know, those are the people that said, I'm going to give you a piece of my mind. I'm going to tell you how I feel about what you just did. I'm glad that I cannot give you a piece of my mind because mine is gone right now. I lost it. And I don't want to find it. So don't worry about me giving you a piece of mind. Anyway, I don't want it. And I don't want yours neither. I want his mind. Amen. He says, forward mouth, speaking their mind. But they're speaking it with a willfully contrary to the gospel. You know, it's all right if they will agree with you, but you know what? They want to tell you their mind because they want you to agree with them or with whoever. And if you don't agree, but you're out because you can see my revelation. You know? There's only one revelation. And that's the one that God provides through his Holy Spirit. And if God revealed that to you and it's from him, then I will need it as well. If I'm part of the bride, I will need every revelation that God will send to the Holy Ghost. So if somebody has a revelation that I don't understand, I don't say nothing. I say, you know, brother, sorry, I'm not there yet, but if I need it, it has to come. But in the meantime, let me put it aside and see what happens. Amen. You don't have to criticize. You don't have to judge those people. So, What is godliness? It is the state and the quality of being godly, see? Of being good. Not in your own, because you had no goodness to yourself. His goodness. My badness, but his goodness. He says, so, being godly, devoted, dedicated, you know, faithful, pious, you know, like I was saying, being spiritually and devout and faithful to God. Now, if that's godliness, then that's what Enoch, and Enoch is the type of the bride. The bride will be the same. It has to be the same. You cannot, oh, God made a mistake. At this end, as we come into the end, I told you it has to be faith, it has to be hope, and it has to be love. That's all the only three things before we go in right to the rapture, Paul says. So not only that, but our lives, we are walking and we are talking that we are faithful to God, that we are devoted, that we consecrated, that we're making a commitment to God, that we have a meaning and a purpose in our walk. We're not just walking to walk, and we are not just trying to strike something, you know, like shooting when there's no target. You keep shooting, you are going to hit anything. But our life got purpose. It has meaning. You know that God has to do the same thing? Now, God says, in order for him to have a purpose and a meaning and a reason to be, he created man so he can fall. Now, if God has to have a meaning and a purpose, what about you and me? It's a meaning and a purpose this morning. You can't, what do you come to church for? But you have to have a reason. And the reason is, I want to be changed. And the reason is, I want to make the rapture. But only the word can change you. You see, I told you Wednesday that the rapture was going to happen Wednesday. It didn't happen, but it happens today. Or you're going to wait for tomorrow. You know, I can see Greg and Hannah, you know, well, sorry, don't embarrass you. They want to hold on the rapture, you know, they got all the things say. I don't blame you, I would do too. You know, they want to enjoy their life together for a little bit. So they might just kind of, wait, brother, stop there. Well, let's wait until the, you know, we get married or something. So I told you that gets a little complicated because the last one is not in yet. But listen, if you come to church and you don't believe that this is your last service, you will not put everything that it requires in this service. You know what you said? I wait for tomorrow. Maybe next Wednesday. Why? This is the only day you have today, and that's it. Can you assure me that you're going to have it tomorrow on a Wednesday? No. Then put everything that you got into this service. But it could be the last one. Well, brother, here we go again. You know, it shows your attitude. What is your reason and your motive and your purpose to be in church? I mean, if I want to be raptured, I want to be in church. Out there I might get in trouble, but I know in church I won't get in trouble. At least if he finds me in church, that's a good thing. So if it happens, let it happen here. Amen. Amen. So, he said that the quality of life, you know, in Ephesians 4:12, it says, you know, about the ministry. It was given to bring us to what? To perfection, to maturity. Godliness is a way to maturity. In fact, Peter showed us that. I want to read it to you in a minute. Let's go to that scripture is not in your screen, so don't even bother. I just it came to my mind, so because Peter told us the step to godliness. For this reason, make every effort. Not just try a little bit or there, well, let me see if it works or not. No, just put all yourself into it. What you got and what you don't got, just put it in there. Make every effort. We're not quitters. I'm not here to quit. I don't care if I have to drag myself. I get up and keep moving. And I fall, I drag myself up. But I'm not here to quit. Make every effort to add to your faith goodness. Goodness or virtue, you know, depending on you reading the King James. This is the NIV. And to goodness, knowledge. See, this is the step. You start with faith, it's the foundation, then you go to virtue or goodness, and then you go to knowledge. And to knowledge, self-control. I told you this before. Self-control is temperance. You know, once you get to self-control, now you can make a decision there. Do I going to please God? That's control. Or am I going to please the devil? See, when you start moving to these steps, then you make your mind When the devil comes, you tell him, shoo. And then every time you do that, it's a victory. Something else will change in your life. You become a little bit more. See, and what happened after that? Then you go to perseverance. That's patience. So you got to hold on. You had to stand your ground. Just because you just finished a fight with the devil, don't think he's going to come back again. He will come back. You need to stand and claim that ground and be patient. You know? And to perseverance, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly love. You won't be able to love your brother until you get to godliness. We're going to explain what that is in a minute. That's a walk of life. That's walking your talk. And to mutual affection is love. Love divine. So you will not be capped until you go through self-control, godliness. And that's what I want to talk to you. Because that is an element of this process. You cannot. It says, add to this. So you need godliness in order to have brotherly love. Because I'm going to show you why. The invisible union of the bride. It says, you are the virtual bride of Christ. See? Washed in the blood of Christ, precious, virtuous, sinless, Son of God, standing with a pure, unadulterated bride word that he washed by the water of his own blood, that become flesh and manifested. Now, he became flesh. Okay? That is one of the mysteries of what? Of godliness. He became flesh. See, God, all the God that you read in the Old Testament through the prophets and all that he did through every Ruth and Boaz, all that type and all that, you know, type. And he ended where? Once he came to Christ, the whole Testament, everything that he was talking about, everything that he was showing, now suddenly, here I am. All that stuff in the Old Testament. But he didn't stop there. We're going to find out that everything in the New Testament, after Christ died on the cross to redeem his bride, everything in that New Testament is going to rise up one of these days when the rapture comes. But we're going to get there in a minute. He says that you were predestined in the bosom of the Father before the beginning, the same as he was. He was the great attribute of God called love. So Paul says in Colossians 1, 25-27, therefore I am made minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Now he's saying, this is what I was called, to tell you about the mystery of godliness, about God and his knowledge. He's trying to tell us, this is my ministry. He says, even the mystery which have been hid from ages, that's why he came. The world was restored then. You know they could have had the rapture back in the Alpha Church. They had everything restored. They had already the world restored. When Jesus Christ came, the world was restored completely. And Paul makes sure of that. He says, I'm going to tell you about the word, restoration of the word. Not only that, but so this mystery which is hid from ages, from generation, but now is made manifest in the saints. That's what the mystery of godliness is. Everything that we knew of God, suddenly, here comes in flesh. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And 14 says, and that Word became what? What is he saying here, that who's going to become flesh to? The bride. See, that was the Old Testament becoming flesh in Christ, and the New Testament is going to become flesh in the bride. Amen. The bride, we're going to go there in a minute. Hold on. We're going to unfold this mystery. Even the mystery that was hidden. To whom, 27, God would make known that is the riches of his glory of this mystery. To whom? To me, to you, to us, to the church. This mystery of glory, of this mystery among the Gentile, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That where that mystery is hidden. Christ in you is hidden in you. So that's why he's talking. I came to show you. I came to talk to you. This is my ministry, to show you where he's at and what is going to happen because of that. You're going to become flesh. God is going to become flesh again. He's going to walk. He's going to talk. And he's going to make your body line up with that word. You don't even have to worry. All you have to do is say, do unto me. That's all. You surrender his life to him and he take care of the rest. It's getting hot now. I'm sweating. Just hold on a minute. Oh, there's no hooks in here. Oh, that was the other pulpit. Hold on. Okay, so now 27. So this is what the dictionary, the biblical dictionary that I was reading, says this. I'm gonna read it from directly. Paul goes on to define the purpose of his ministry in Colossians 1:24-24. He described to make known the mysteries in Colossians 1:27. My purpose is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of the complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God. See? Life and godliness through the knowledge. But you have to have a restored word. But that's been done. So, he said, may know the mystery of God, namely Christ in you. The mystery. The hidden mystery. See? But they put him out. So you think they're gonna be, you know, godliness in their lives? They're gonna be godly? No. It takes Christ in you to do that. It takes the Holy Ghost. In whom are hidden all the treasures and wisdom and knowledge. In Christ Jesus. So if you have Christ, you got anything you need. By the Holy Ghost, he will reveal you everything that you need to know from here to eternity. How can you miss it? Now, let's look at the other side of the coin. Romans 8:30. Paul is saying, moreover, who he did predestine, then he also called. And whom he called, he also justified. And whom he justified, them he what? In his mind, in God's mind, is done. He knew you before the foundation of the world. So he knew you here, and he's going to know you here. See? What happened here, you know, that is the journey. But what I'm saying is, God himself called the elect. That's why you have to make your election and your calling sure. You need to know that you need to know that you need to know that you are a son of God now. Or a daughter of God. You have to make that clear. In fact, Paul says it, I mean, Peter said that in confirming one's calling and election. See? So, the reason of all this, I mean, this will not profit you if you don't know who you are. You know to know what you are and who you are. Then you can reap the benefit of being a son of God. You've been adopted. You know what an adoption do in the natural? You got all the responsibility, the rights, and the authority of that parent. You became their son. So now you have just as much authority and power as that family and responsibility. Before, you were nobody, nothing in the street, wandering around, let's see what I'm going to eat, looking from can to can, trash to trash. But now that has changed. Because now we have been adopted by our Heavenly Father. But that is the sons that he elected before the foundation of the world. Not everybody was elected. And there cannot be any church without it, only a dead church. Without godliness, there will be a dead church. That's what 2 Timothy says. 2 Timothy 3:5. Having a form of godliness. See, they act religious, they act pious, they act holy, they act consecrated, and all this stuff. But this is what it says, but denying the what? The power that could make them godly. Because that's the Holy Ghost in you will make you godly. See, we give you godliness. I'll show you the step. I already told you the step. Peter said. And that is the Holy Ghost working in you all these things. But they don't have no hope. And I'm not saying this. I mean, it's sad that these people are there with no hope, with no Christ, and with no spirit, with nothing. And they go to church, and there's no change. I mean, can you imagine coming to church all these years and you're still the same? Well, bring this, the bag of sin again to the you know, hey, it is, forgive me, Father. Then you go back out. That's what happened in the Old Testament. Under the bulls and goats and blood. That blood never took away the sin. So every year they go to the temple and they atonement for the sins, you know, the high priest. But you know, when they left there, they left the same way they came in. The only difference was that God had a word. God gave him that word. He covered the sins until the true, you know, sacrifice, atonement, that is Christ. And that ended the rest of that. And the same thing today, you know. We are under Christ Jesus, his blood. And that makes us a bride with a spot and wrinkle. Having formal godliness, acting religious, but denying the power that could make them godly. Therefore, from such what? You don't have to stay away from people. It's saying, you know, don't do what they do. And they don't have God, so don't treat them like they don't have any God. You know, have compassion, you know. If you have Christ, you are trying to help them. Then 2 Peter 1:4, whereby are given unto us exceeding and great and precious promise, that by these you might be partakers of what? Of the divine nature, that is his godliness being restored back to man. That's what he's saying. That's God nature. We just read it, the mystery of godliness. We're going to see that's God. That's the way God was. Says the nature, divine nature, having escaped the corruption of this world through lust. So what is godliness? So we read 1 Timothy 3:16 again. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in flesh, justifying the spirit, seen by angels, preached unto Gentiles, believed on in the world, and receiving them to glory. You know, John says in the epistle, he says, we touched them, we felt them, we seen them, we heard them, you know. And that was the God of the Old Testament. He left his throne. He left his robes. And he came down and became a man. So he could be touched. You know, so he could be, we can hear him. But today, I'm going to ask you a question. I'm getting ahead of me a little bit. Where the only place that the people are there is going to see God, where is he? That's what Brother Branham said. So if they're going to see God in you, they should see God talking. They should God looking. They should God touching. You know, that's godliness. The same God that walked the Sea of Galilee is walking today in Tucson. I know you can talk, but I'll see your walk. That tells me if you really have a talk. Expectation. He says, an exposition of the seven churches, chapter 3, the Ephesian church aged, but the life could not and would not be sure in any other way than through the way of God manifested in flesh. See, because he came in flesh, he came in cell, a cell that so small, a blood cell came into the womb of Mary, and then he came, Jesus Christ, the body. And that is the only way he could share his eternal life, his life, through that blood. And we were there. Amen. He says, to share any other way than through the way of God manifesting himself in flesh. This was a part of his eternal and predestinated purpose. This plan was to be the praise of the glory of his grace. It was the plan of redemption. It was the plan of salvation. Now listen closely. God being a savior. Now when Brother Brown said listen closely, I listen closely. God being a savior, it was necessary that he predestined a man who could require salvation in order to give himself a reason and a purpose of being. Oh my God, God goes beyond limits and boundaries. In fact, God put laws in your universe and the earth, but he's not bound by those laws, you know that? You take a natural man, Lazarus died, and there was a funeral procession, and a little girl died. But you know, God is not bound by life and death. He is life. So even that, Brother John, I just kept thinking, man, God don't respect his own laws. I'm glad he don't. Because if I'm dying and if I'm dead, I want him to raise me. See, he told Martha, I'm the life, I'm the resurrection. I'm Mary, one of those. See? So he is not bound by his own laws. When he took the Red Sea and he parted, that's against every law that I know in physics. But see, he made the laws for you and me, so everything can stay within his boundaries, but he's not bound by those laws. And I'm glad that he's not. This is 100% correct. He says, predestined a man who requires salvation in order to give himself a reason and a purpose of being. Now, the same God that is not bound by his own law, he needed a reason to be God. Now, think about it. You are the reason that he became what he is. That is heavy. That's just nothing light. You are the reason and the purpose he did what he did. This is 100% correct, and multitudes of scriptures bear it out, as does the very pointed verse. Now, John 1, I already read that one. John 1, 1, 3, and 14. But we see that God was manifested in the conscience of every man. He illuminated my conscience, my life. So he came and his light shined on all humankind. The great God of love, left his throne, his kingly robes, and came down from glory and manifested himself in flesh. Oh, how divine nature, power, and majesty became man like you and me to restore through godliness. Because he is the mystery of godliness. He is the great source where godliness springs forward. He is. Amen. And he's in the center today of this, corrupted, evil Eden. He's still in the middle of that. In the middle of human nature. God himself manifesting himself in flesh. Now, it's a good point to define godliness. I got something written here, but I'm going to tell you what it is in my own words. Godliness is the result. Godliness is not a character element. Godliness is not, some gift. Godliness is the result, the seen result of a life that is walking and is acquiring the character of God. You understood what I said? The more you acquire the character of God through the steps that Paul talks, the more then you start getting godliness. Temperance, you say no to the devil, you get a little bit more godliness. And you say no to the devil again, and how many times you're going to have to tell him no? It's not just one time. These steps are not done one time. It's just a cycle. Then every time you say no, he said, oh, that's my boy. Yo, you should see him today. The Holy Spirit said, man, he's a chip out of the old block. Okay, give him a start. Godliness. Every time you pass a test, you get more what? More like him. You get more godly. See? And then once you start getting more and more and more, then you just burst right to brotherhood. Brotherly love. So you wonder now why some people, they're not there yet. Maybe we need more godliness or temperance. I don't know what we need. So godliness is the result of a life that has character. See? So how you get character? Well, it's not a gift. It's not a talent. It's a victory. You come to church and the word produces character. And every time you choose him, it produces a character. Every time you have patience, every time you have temperance, and every time you choose him, then you produce something else in you. You start maturing. And then when that is happening in your life, you start getting more character. And how do I know you have character? Not because you tell me that you have character. You know how I know you have character? Because your life, your godly life, your godly life tells me what is in there and how much is in there. So I don't understand. You see, devotion, commitments, you know, being devout, being faithful. That's part of character. So why some people are not that way? Let's leave it there. But they will get there. Be careful not to judge people. Some people are not in the same level we all are. But we need to help those people. You know, some people are late bloomers like me, and they will come out later. You know, sooner or later they will. But you and I, we need to what? To mentor, to nurture, so they can understand. We should not just put him down. You know, the only difference between one that is not here, one that is here, is that he hasn't realized what you realize. But you're going to have to help him realize that. Who else is going to do it? And not by judging, but your life confesses what is inside you. The character that is being developed in you is chosen godliness. How faithful you are to church, how patient you are with your brother, your devotion when you come to church. That's what godliness is. So, and godliness is not a thing of the Old Testament, of the New Testament. This is all throughout the whole book of Bible. Listen, appears in the Bible in Psalm 132:9. Just a couple so you know, 132 verse 9, it says, may your priest be clothed, that's me. But that's you too. Because we are ministers now. See, we are called to be ministers. Why? So we can minister to one another. High priest. So what? So you can intercede for one another. That's what the high priest do. But we have to be dressed with what? With a life that says, I'm here. You know, I told you, I come to church. This is not something that I do because I want to check a box. I told you we are here to serve one another, but God has to bring you to that maturity, to that godliness. That's he can use. Without character, we'll not be given any power to do anything. Remember? Without character, power is what? The money. So, in order for you to help someone else, Abraham could not even help himself. Abraham wanted to help Lot, but he was not there yet. And then Lot takes off, and he loves his nephew, and he wanted it to be with him so bad, but he couldn't do nothing. Why? Because God had to do something to him first. When God came to him, then did what he did to Sarah and said, I'll come to visit you. Then they took Lot. And then now he was in a position to do what? To help Lot. But before that, he said, well, you know, let's agree. I know we don't believe the same way. Let us separate. Which way you want to go? Wherever you go, I go the other way. Sometimes I had to do that with my own family, with my own son. I said, it's not a bad guy. He just, you know, lost a little bit of his way, but he's going to get it. But I said, you know, son, you and I don't agree. So let us separate. You know, you go your way and I go my way. And we agree to disagree. But we can walk together. Two cannot walk together unless they agree. And I thought, if we're not agreeing, we can walk. But now he's back around again, full circle. See, now, I am in a position that I can help him. Because I'm not the same guy that I was 8 years, 10 years ago. See, 10 years ago I could not do it. Now I got more of him. I'm more mature, and now I can help them. And some of you too, be careful. Don't do something just with a concern. Well, my son concerned me, my husband. If I don't say something or do something, they're gonna kill themselves or they're gonna go on to bad things. You know, that's a concern. You try to do that and you make things worse. Just pray about it. Come to church, be faithful, feed yourself the word of God. that sooner or later you will grow to that position that you're going to be able to help somebody. Because without character, see, I'm not saying that you don't have character. We have different degree of character right now, you know, we're in different levels, you know. So God has to bring you to that place. Then you can help somebody. Because you will not be judgmental, you will not judge anybody, but you will love somebody into this. See? Now, Psalm 132, may you priests be clothed in godliness. You are high priest, you've been called, you are son of a king, and you need to be clothed with what? Godliness. Your life has to show what is in there. I cannot see your character, but I can see your godliness, how godly you are, the way you act. You know, it says, I will clothe, then in 16, it says, well, let me finish this. May your loyal servant sing for joy. 16, I will clothe it priest with godliness. Its faithful servants will sing with joy. Psalm 59, the Lord detests the way of the wicked, but he loves those who pursue what? Godliness. Amen. We should pursue a life that is pleasing to God. But God is the one that is going to do that for you. As we yield ourselves, we have to be faithful to him, faithful to one another, faithful to church, devoted, devotion, consecration, purpose, and meaning. Life has to have a purpose and a meaning. If not, you just go around looking for what? You don't know what you're going to find because you don't even, in your mind, you don't even have a picture of what are you going to be when you grow up? If you don't know by now, you know, like me, 70, I don't know what I want to be when I grow up. It's going to be too late. I know what I want to be. I want to be a son of God. That is my purpose, and I will pursue it with all my heart. I just find out what it needs to be done, and that's why I want God to do in my life. And then the results, a life, you see it. Revelation 10:7. This is what all this was to get to here. This is my preaching. I'm almost done. But in the days of the voice, Revelation 10:7, of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound the mystery of God. What is the mystery of God? Godliness. If you leave God out there in flesh, then that mystery you already done with. There's another mystery. There's another bride that God's going to be in flesh. So the mystery of godliness is not only 2,000 years ago. It's going to repeat again. If not, God did something wrong. What did he do yesterday, he will do today, and he will do tomorrow. So Brother Branham is saying, the mystery of God, and the mystery of God is godliness. He came in flesh. He says, should be finished, should be accomplished. That's what we are. As he had this declared to his servant, the prophet. Let me read this to you. It is the sign of the end, sir. The seven mystery of God. We know the seven mystery of God. The seven-eight church. The seven mystery. Here it is. He says, even Christ is the incarnate fullness of the Godhead. We know that. That's the mystery of godliness. And body, in whom all divine wisdom and godliness is then restored to man. It was restored to man then. How? He says, exposition of the seven church. He said, now I said a moment ago that the false vine came into full fruition in this age. Her fruit would mature and ripe. That's correct. The evil spirit church, full of iniquity, will be revealed as the mustard seed that grew into this world's largest, clubs, the fowls of the air. And her head will be the Antichrist, the mystery of iniquity. Wow, we're doing an all kind of mystery today. The mystery of iniquity. So, the mystery of godliness is God in his bride. The mystery of iniquity is Satan on who? There's two brides. The bride of Jesus Christ and the what? And the whore, I say it because that's what the Bible said. Which indeed, all this is true. And if this is true, then it must also be true that the Bible church will mature, you and me, and her, and he with ripeness shall be an identification. Your growth, your character, as I told you, it will be your identification, that it will be your life, your godliness that is shown in your life will be your identification that you are one of them. If our life is not producing his word, then there's something wrong. I run to the altar. And this is, and must also be true, that the Bible church will mature, see, perfection, bringing the body to perfection. Ephesians 4:12, it says, church will mature and her ripeness shall be an identification. What is the ripeness? How do you know the fruit got to his rightful place? You take a bite out of it. But before you take a bite, you smell it. I do that. I go to the market. They send me to get a watermelon. You know how I tell you, well, you know, honeydew, a watermelon? I just turn it around in that little, you know, where they grow, and I scratch, and I smell to see if I get anything. You know, I scratch and smell. Yeah, that's what I do when I go to the market. Then I know I got a good fruit. It smells good. Now I take it home, and it tastes good. So how do I know that your life, it's godly? Well, you smell sweet. What you mean, you're smiling? I don't mean smell sweet naturally. You come to church and everybody want to be with you and around you. You know, you know how it is. Brother Brown says some people like, you know, you want to be around them all the time. And some other people, you just cross the street when they come in, you know. You don't want to even see them even in a picture. Why? Because their lives are sweet. And they encourage you, and they help you, and they share with you the good things, you know. Not gossiping. That's the other side. That don't smell good anyway. That's always smell rotten. But a life that is sweet. You know, Brother Doug was preaching about that, and I preached to you about the sweetness. The Bible said that that is our identification. Our lives become sweet to the one that believes. And sweet to the one that what? That disbelieve. We don't change. Listen, you don't have to change. If a sinner or not a sinner, you still got to be sweet. How are you going to attract flies if you don't put some honey? I mean, if you put vinegar, you ain't going to get any flies. At home, I put a little bit of sweet and gone. Because I can attract them. You know what? You come to church, you want to be attracted to the sweetness of God. Being sweet. Oh, I like to be around that brother. He's so sweet. Okay, mystery. And this being identification with her, Lord, by means of the word. See? And her head. So see, the word is in place. The head is in place. And what else you think is going to happen? The life got to be lined up with that. So he tells me that some people that are not there yet is because they are not on their head. Because I lost mine. I only got one head, and that's his head. He says, all this truth is a church with mature, and her ripeness shall be an identification with her Lord by means of the word, and her head will come to her as... Now, listen to this. What happened to me? This is important. I want all this preaching to get here, guys. I don't know. Go until you get to the... Yeah. Whoa. My eyes are going like this. Okay, well, you guys figured it out. It says, the head who will come to her is the mystery of what? You got it? It was the mystery of godliness then. And the head, the capstone that we call love, is her mystery of what? Of a life. See, God is not going to capstone something that don't look like him. He's going to shape you. He's going to form you. So, you know, he's going to come to a sheep, not a goat. So your life has to match his life. And when that happens, You get to godliness, you get to brotherly love, and then what? Cap that guy. The Holy Spirit says, Father, I mean, he's done. He's a sheep of the old block. I mean, let's adopt them. Then the full adoption comes. Mystery of godliness, which indeed is who? And that's the perfection we're looking for. That is Christ, the headstone. Which indeed is Christ. And is the false church with all the cunning and the diabolical power, no character, made up as a political force. I appreciate that church, you know, because that church protects me. You know, that's a shock. You know? But I'm glad that he was there to protect me. To make sure that the laws are right. And they fight for abortion, and they fight for this, and they fight for that. But I'm glad because we don't. But at least they're there to do that. So God will recompense them somehow. They're not going to be completely lost. Physical force and demons and darkness come against the true vine. We are the true vine with the fullness of the Spirit and the world. And the Word will do the very best, the very acts of power that Jesus did. Well, I want to see the power of God in the church. Get there then. Surrender to God. And show Him that your life can please Him. And He will give you the power that you need to do the things that we need. You know, we pray for one another. You know, somebody's healed, somebody died. We will have the power, Brother William, to resurrect our life. We're almost here. Let me tell you, things are getting to the end. Fullness of Spirit and the Word with the very acts of the power that Jesus did. The continuation of His ministry, back returning back to earth. The bride will have a ministry. That is a ministry. Then the near the headstone, and the closer we get to the headstone, because that's what the whole thing is here, to get to the headstone. You see, there's no headstone in the pyramid. And once we get to the top, that is brotherly love, there's a gap. We cannot jump, but He made an access to us. He gave us an open door. And that capstone, when we get there, when the church gets there, when the last one gets there, the capstone comes up. But nevertheless, He's here. The same capstone is here. So you don't have no excuse to say, well, I wait until the capstone comes, then I can act like it. No, if you don't act like it now, you will not act like later, and you will not act that way when you get there. If you don't like worship here, you will not like worship there. He's already in you. And He will bring the church so close to that capstone, that it's almost just like Him. And the Holy Spirit says, we're done. So here comes the capstone. See? Becoming like Him through the Word, Jesus will come that the bride and groom may forever. What? Amen. But He's already united. The wedding is here. But this is a progressive walk. Potentially it's here, it's done. But we are maturing until we get to the what? To the capstone. Wait a minute. Let me turn this on. Okay, where do you go? Technology. I have to open this again. Hold on. Here we go. I'm getting very good at this now. Very, very, very good. Okay, hold on. Let's see what I was at. Purpose, godliness, exposition. Okay. Exposition of the 7-8, church, age 9. That's the next one. He says, He will bring back the elect of the last days, and they will hear a vindicated prophet. We have done that. With the exact truth, it was with Paul. He will restore the truth. He did that as they had it. And those elect with him in that day will be one who truly manifest the Lord. See? Only those that are elected and called. They will manifest the Lord and be His body today. What? The manifestation, the mystery of godliness. Again, God in flesh. He said, His body, His voice, He performed His work. Hallelujah. Do you see it? For the voice of God will be in where? Amen. The only God they're going to see is where? And the only God they're going to hear is where? And they're going to see? Is here. Amen. He says, the voice will be in her. Yes, it is. For it says in the chapter of Revelation, verse 17, the Spirit and the bride said what? Come. One more, you can stand. And I promise you this is the last one. If you stand, if you don't, I keep on going. Exposition of the seven, eight church. The revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, remember this. Christ in the true church is continuation of the book of Acts. The book of Acts don't have an amen to it. It was never amen. So be it. It's just open. Why? It's been open for ages. It says, but the book of Revelation show how that the Antichrist spirit would come into the church and defile it, in making it lukewarm, you know, not hot, not cold, lukewarm, former and powerless. And exposed to Satan, revealing his works, attempt to destruction of God's people in the discrediting of God's word, right, down to the time he is cast into the lake of fire. He fight that. He cannot stand it. He know that it is the people get the true revelation of the true church. I told you the true church is his bride, the called, the elect one, and what she is, what she stands for, and she can do the greatest work. She will be an invincible army. And they get a true revelation of the two spirits within the framework of the Christian church. There's only two spirits, a religious spirit and the spirit of God. That's all it is. The spirit within the framework of the Christian church. And by God's spirit discern and withstand the Antichrist spirit. See? Satan will be powerless before her. He will be as defiantly thwarted today as when Christ withstood his every effort to gain power over him and in the desert. Yes, Satan hates revelation, but we love it. Amen. With true revelation in our life, the gates of hell cannot prevail against us. But we will prevail. Either way, we are going to prevail. And this is just a preview. See? Godliness, as we're getting close to the headstone, we're going to see all these things coming. You know, your life is starting lining up with the word and with the headstone and with the head. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you once again, Father, for your word. We thank you for your blessings. Thank you for everything you have done for us. You provide for us not only the physical, the bread of life, but you also give us the heavenly bread, Father, the manna that come down from heaven. Thank you, Lord, because we had to grow strong physically and we had to grow just as strong in the spiritual sense, Father. If we don't eat, we won't grow, Father. So thank you, Lord, because you have faithful servants, faithful children that come because they want to be fed. They need a change in their life. I need a change. We need a change in our life. And the only way that change has come is by your word. Faith comes by hearing and hearing your word. Father, thank you for speaking to us this morning. Be with your people as we go out and eat. And tonight, Father, bring us back ready with a great expectation, Father. Like I said, Father, I'm ready to put everything into it because who knows if this is our last service, Father. Father, we want to come ready and expecting for you to do something for us, Father. Sometimes I don't know what I have need of, but you do. Your spirit knows exactly what I have need of, Father. So, Father, I'm expecting that you will feed me and those things that I have need of. Father, thank you again. Bless your people as they go out, Father. And we ask you, Father, to be with our brother Doug again. Bless him too and strengthen him in his body, Father. And bring him home, Father, save and sound. Father, we love you. We adore you. Father, will you come and have your way? Will you come down, Father? Just we open our hearts. Father, just sit down and enthrone yourself. Father, that is what we want. Our desire is that you come, Father. So we make us obedient to your word. Father, you don't have to make us. We want to be obedient to your word. We make mistakes, we fall, but Father, we know one thing. It shall be done, as you said it. If we are sons and daughters of God, you will have your way. Father, and you don't want to have to try too much because I want to, Father. Sometimes in my own flesh I fall, but I want to, Lord. I get up and I say, forgive me, Lord, but make me, shake me, forgive me. But I want to be what you want me to be.
To be like you.
To be like Jesus.
To be like Jesus.
That's all I want.
Like Jesus. To be like King. Or through life, your life and godliness.
A life that will produce the fruits of Christ in our life.
I only ask to be.
Bow your heads, close your eyes as they're playing. Now, I want to ask you, if you don't know the God that I have just talked about, if you don't know His power, His resurrection, if you don't know your calling and your election, if you're not sure, we ask you, if He had touched your heart this morning, just raise your hand and say, I want that kind of a Christ in my life. I want a Christ that has power to change me. I am tired and sick of myself. I want Him to take control of my life. There's anybody here that needs God? There's a few hands in here. Thank you, Lord. Amen. How many of you want to have more of Him this morning? But then have more, less of you, so He can come in more of Him. Less carnality, less flesh, and more of Him. A life that is godly, that is pleasing, that is a walk that is pleasing to Him. A sweet, sweet walk.
Be like Him.